Thank you.
Quorum, we're running short of some few members, but we're going to proceed with the meeting to engage on the report. And before we adopt the report, we hope that in the meantime, the issue of quorum will have been sorted out, but surely we have to proceed. I'm not sure of the apologies. I'm told that Honorable Mandela apologized, Honorable Zulu, Honorable Barron, Honorable Kalakulu. Those are the people that I got the message from. I don't know why the secretary now, because I think she'll be able to update us in terms of the formal, additional formal apologies that she received. But the procedure that we are going to follow now is that
I would like to apologize, but I would like to give a correct form.
Hopefully we'll be finished by then, yes, but the apology is noted. We'll try and be as fast as we can without compromising the quality of this report. But a lot of work has been done. I think it is a point must be made up front that a lot of work has been done. All of that been now just tightening some screws and making some finishing touches. Can we formalize any apologies that you have?
Thank you, Chairperson. Good afternoon, members. Good afternoon, colleagues. The apologies that I have, I've got apologies from MP Mailem, MP Berend, MP Qabekulu, MP Zulu, Kosu Mandela, MP Bosa. Thank you, Chair.
Okay, thank you very much.
And the minister.
Well, of course, additional apologies that of the minister. The minister is accompanying the president to Poland. With the delegation of the president, the DG, when he spoke yesterday, he was sure that he was part of the meeting, but unfortunately I'm informed that he was called to another urgent meeting in Pretoria, so he left this morning to Pretoria. Yes, so those are the apologies, and the one that was raised, but the Honorable says she wants to leave by quarter to four. We hope that by that time we have done much of the work. Honorable?
Yes, and I have to leave at four, thank you, sir.
So let's start with our meeting so that we don't eat time discussing apologies.
Yes, let's not waste time. I would like to submit an apology for Steve Makalapa. I understand he wrote a letter, I don't know what happened, but he apologized.
Did he ask you to apologize on his behalf? Because you understand he wrote the letter. I don't understand the apology.
No, he's in our committee. Then we discussed the issue. Then he said he's going to apologize. He sent a letter of apology.
Okay, apology noted.
Thank you.
The procedure we are going to follow, colleagues, is that one that, as you recall, we agreed in a meeting that we are going to have this last meeting where we can look at the draft, input on the draft, and adopt it so that it's actually sent off. Remember that the deadline for us to submit this report is Tuesday, but we have to submit it, table it before that time, so that at least it can be tabled properly. So which means today is our very last day, and if we don't manage to do that which we are supposed to do, it will be sad, because it will mean therefore that all what we have been doing all along was a futile exercise, and I don't think we want that. So we agreed in the meeting that it did not proceed. We agreed on Tuesday that we will meet today, and that agreement had some inputs to it. One of the main inputs to it was that gives members the chance to read the report. But secondly, it gives members a chance to make written submissions, so that those submissions can be looked at and be incorporated in the report, which therefore means that today we don't expect many contributions, because an opportunity was afforded through written submissions. So I'm going to give the content advisor an opportunity to take us through the report and indicate the submissions that were made, and then at the end we can then engage and finalize the report. Yes, sir. Continue.
Thank you, Chair. Good afternoon, honorable members. I think perhaps the way I'm going to do it is to refer page by page, in terms of, I'm not going to read the entire report, I'll just show what is in that page or in that section, and maybe highlight, you know, issues that have been raised by members. Of course, assuming that everybody has had an opportunity to read. To a certain extent, I'll also highlight the document I'm going to be using is the overall report, which is the one that is going to be tabled. All the other other reports, like the oversight report, the workshop reports, are actually documents that we sourced, you know, information from. So they remain resources. They are more detailed to a large extent. And where possible, like, I mean, somewhere you may find also that there are typos and which needs to be tightened at the end of the day. We will be able to reflect on those, and we will also benefit from the fact that members have read the document. The introduction, which is, there seems to be a technical error, it's page 5, but it doesn't show on that page. I never understand how this happens. But it doesn't show on that page. It's page 5 after page 4. Must I start from? Okay. Page 1, page 2 is mainly the table of contents, and page 3. Okay. So the how the. Sorry, it's the same, this document, right? Is everybody?
Sorry, are we all having the report?
Yeah.
Yes. Are we all having the document? Yeah, because it's disturbed by the... You see, there are not the report that you, not the one that you got on Thursday, isn't it?
And at the end, you've got an attachment of all the projects that we visited. The one that we had on Tuesday is not there. This is for this attachment we said.
Chairperson, it might also be that my document doesn't have page 3 and 4, so it might just be that some were not inserted in the document.
Can you give her the right document, please? Just take that one away and give her the right document. What? It's just that the odd numbers are not marked. It's only the even numbers which are marked. But there is a marked page which represents the odd number. You see, there's two, there's no three, it's four, there's no five. You see? Yeah. Okay. Okay, thanks. So that page, which should be page 3, is executive summary. It actually summarizes the whole document. I'm not going to waste time on that because we will talk about the issues as we proceed. The blank page, the one that should be page 5, it doesn't show on your copy. Basically, it's an introduction that tells us where we started, why this ad hoc committee was established, what were the contents and the issues. It goes to elaborate on the terms of reference, and I think it's important to make mention of what the committee was mandated to do by the National Assembly, so that we can then assess if we have responded to all these questions. To assess the extent to which the program of land reform and rural development have addressed the legacy of the Natives Land Act of 1913, especially with regard to the committee's mandate. That committee is referred to the mandate of the Portfolio Committee on Rural Development and Land Reform, mainly as a coordinating committee, in respect of the land divisions emanated from the 1913 Land Act and agricultural development. Assess the success or otherwise of the land restitution program. Inquire about the systems in place for and to monitor processes towards the reopening of the lodgement of land claims so that the Commission on Restitution of Land Rights can implement a program that is fair, transparent to all South Africans and make recommendations. We also explain in this section, the issue about the date that we were meant to report on the 20th, but that we were given an extension, and the fact that when we met for the first time, it was a meeting to elect the chairperson, and over and above that, we also tabled a program of action that the committee agreed to. You will see on page 7, which fortunately it shows now, they list members of the ad hoc committee. That's in terms of the announcement tabling and committees publication in Parliament. There was a typing error there. It says correspondence, that's committees, and it should be dated 11 July 2013, not 2012. The scope and limitation, basically, we laid a framework. What is it that we were doing and how we did it? That the report did not attempt to go into the detailed, like, project per project, but it gives an analysis of what happens. However, because members wanted to see the details, we then did that attachment, which I will talk about at a later stage. In terms of the structure, it's the sections will be, we highlight how the committee conducted its business, the kind of techniques and the methods they used. Then we then went into discussion about the legacy of the Native Land Act, mainly influenced or drawing on the workshop that we had here in Parliament in the National Assembly, and to a certain extent the Stellenbosch workshop, but also drawing from the experience as we went out during our oversight visit. That links to the issue around observations as we went around, and then we speak to the issues around the state of readiness to reopen the lodgement of land claims, and we end with conclusions and recommendations to the National Assembly. Let me skip. Well, we all know what the committee, the approach it did. It had briefings on page 11. You will see table 1, which kind of highlights all the activities that the committee carried out from the 8th, from the 7th to 8th, and 8th of June. We also add this activity of today and the final date of the 22nd of October, which we will table. In table 2, the list of projects that that were visited. Section 3, it looks at the legacy of the Native Land Act, both in the communal areas. People will remember, that we had a lengthy discussion about the effects of the legislation in communal areas, but as well as what happens in the communal farming areas. And in terms of the communal areas, the discussion were around access and control of land and resources, the role and the functions of institutions of traditional leadership. In commercial farming areas, we spoke about the destruction of the African peasantry, the dispossession of land, which resulted in a lot of or many African people becoming tenants on what became white-owned commercial farms. But also we emphasize that there are programs in place to address these legacies. And an example that was given is the Agri-BE Transformation Charter, which actually is one of the issue or the programs of government to try and resolve this. You know, although perhaps implementation, there are a lot of questions or debate around that charter. Then section 4 is a summary of observations. What that section did in the draft that was presented, that was introduced to the committee, did not have that section. But that section then tries to kind of present a bit of detail about what we found out, and is based on those attachments in page 34, 35, and 36. If you look at those attachments at the end, it's a list of projects and attempts at presenting what the achievements are, the challenges, and the specific recommendations that the committee or the delegation made when they visited those specific projects. We summarize the observations by saying that, you know, we're finding challenges within the communal property associations, which is about, you know, leadership. You know, members will remember that some chairpersons do not, once they are elected into positions, they want to hold on to those positions. But there's also issues around misappropriation of funds, whole lot of challenges that they are encountering. At the same time, if the tables that we have attached, they do show successes where projects or land reform projects are showing the job creation initiative. I think we gave examples, for instance, the Livubu in Mvembe, where after the collapse of strategic partner communities began to regroup, and they are employing in cases over 1,000 people from the numbers that we were given. The Makuleke members will remember they spoke about 200 people in the game farm that they have in the Kruger Park. So we're showing those kind of experiences, but also building of schools. You will see that in Makuleke as well, sharing of dividends in Mansomini in the KZN. So those kind of benefits and successes, we're documenting them. The other general thing that we found in this project is that they were being, the challenge that they face is high operational costs. In KZN in particular, the cost of electricity came as one of the issues, mainly in the sugar plantation. And there's an argument there that says we need to really give a focus on that. So that's based on an addition which I think members wanted to see, these kind of challenges and constraints affecting land reform programs. Section 5. it's about analysis, and this draws largely or to a greater extent from the Stellenbosch workshop and discussion around policy, but we also use the briefing session which we had with the commission here in Parliament. The Chief Land Claims Commissioner was there. We're using those tables to highlight where we are at in terms of restitution, the numbers of settled and finalized, and the amount of work that needs to be done. Some members wanted to see, and I think there was a particular response that came from a joint response from the members of the DA that said we're not showing a lot about protected areas. There is, if you look at 4.1, I forgot to mention here that when we added that section 4, what happened is normally the computer will sort of adjust the numbering, but unfortunately in this case 4.5, it says 4.1, so we will adjust that numbering. Sorry for that error. So we went from 5, it should say 5.1, shouldn't be 4.1. We will adjust that. That's on page 14. But allow me to use this number for, because it's easy to refer. I'll use 4.1.1, which is more about protected areas and the challenges that are around claims in those category of claims. And we use particular example of Pilanesberg in the Northwest. 10-year security in communal areas. And secondly, in page 18 is about transfer of land to traditional councils. This was a policy issue that was discussed when the department presented the model on the communal land tenure. Mm. And there was a particular issue around what institution do you transfer land to? Do you transfer to traditional council? And members will remember that there was a lengthy discussion around the challenge with the Traditional Leadership and Governance Frameworks Act. The fact that a lot of traditional councils have not been constituted in terms of that piece of legislation. Now, when you transfer land to them, what is the legal status of that institution? So we're raising that discussion there. Perhaps we will also come back to that issue with the recommendation. And there's also tenure issues on commercial farming areas, the weaknesses around ESTA and LTA. We use examples of reports from the Department of Rural Development and Land Reform on evictions. And then that it's still a reality today that people are being evicted on farms. We also make mention of the policy from the Department of Human Settlements, which is about housing for farm residents, that it could actually help to improve issues around human settlement and housing in commercial farms. The next section is about redistribution, which really talks to the policy itself. And the weakness that has been identified is in terms of the categories that are there. How do you begin to ensure that your very small subsistent producers have access to land that they call their own, particularly making reference to farm dwellers? Mm-hmm. And in terms of categorization, the policy does not give them an opportunity to own. They remain their assets could be on a lease basis, but not in terms of full ownership. So that's the kind of discussion that we have there. And there was a discussion also around, which is page 21, about development support after transfer of land. This is where we focus on the institutional arrangement, the challenges with the CPA, institutions of traditional leadership, and also the argument around provision of comprehensive post-settlement support. That begins to bring together various departments to work together around support to land reform. And the last section is about these challenges around strategic partnerships. Page 25, it's a table that we put based on the input or briefing by the Chief Land Claims Commissioner around how ready is the Commission or the Department of Rural Development to reopen the land claim. I think there was lengthy discussion around this, so I don't have to go through that. But members will see that it is around facilities, IT lodgement system, developing standard operating procedures, communication strategy, mm-hmm. human resource, and actually drawing into other branches of policies within the department to support the lodgement of land claims. We're talking about the Special Land Use and Management Act, what they call SPLUMA, and NARISEC use, how they're going to assist the commission in reopening and facilitating land claims. And the cost, I think it's important, there's an issue around where is the commission going to get funding for these land claims that are going to be received. And from the briefing that we had, we're seeing there that over, I think it's 5 years, over the period of 5 years, it's about 1.3 billion around there, but year one, it's 479 million in that range. So maybe the discussion would be around, how far have we gone in securing this money? How ready is the commission? At that point, there was no discussion as to the extent to which they have a commitment around securing this fund. Section 7 is basically trying to say, of all that we have said, observations and findings, what are we concluding? The conclusions, firstly, was that, and we came to these conclusions listening to the debates and discussion of members in workshops as well as we went around. There was an issue around the fact that we have the Green Paper on Land Reform, which is really tried to address the many challenges in land reform. The land reform is confronting, coming up with different policies. So the argument here is that finalization of the policies in the absence of the white paper on land reform. So the argument was around having these document policies brought together as a one coherent policy document in the form of the white paper. The concern was that there would be contradictions in policy, so you need to have them in one sort of piece of a policy document as a white paper. It was a key conclusion that's necessary. And in terms of restitution, the second conclusion was around skills requirement, that we needed more skills. If we are reopening land claims, we need skills to add into the capacity of the commission, particularly if you look at the complex claims that they have and the complexity that will be added by the new claims that will arise out of the reopening. There was also the discussion around, well, we concluded from the discussion that there will be pressure to finalize existing land claims that were lodged by 31 December 1998. The other one, okay, maybe I shouldn't spend time on all these conclusions, but we did arrive at particular conclusions on redistribution and development support. What is important is then what recommendations are we making? I'm not sure, Che, if I should read them as they are or maybe leave them at this, because I think members would have had an opportunity to go through recommendations. And must I read them? Okay. As a result of the observations, findings, and the conclusions of this report, the committee recommends the following: the Department of Land Reform, the Rural Development and Land Reform, to finalize consultations on the Green Paper on Land Reform and publish a coherent policy document in the form of a white paper on South African land reform policy. The white paper should present a high-level vision for land reform and agrarian transformation to provide a framework within which all policies should be developed. The white paper should be used by Parliament as one of the oversight tools to monitor progress in implementation of policies to redress the legacy of the Native Land Act 1913. convene a national dialogue in the form of a land summit that would bring all sectors of the society to debate the agrarian transformation and strategies put in place to address the questions of landlessness, rural poverty, and inequality. Such debate could assist to resolve some of the existing varying interpretations on the proposed land reform policies. Department, of course, as you read this, you know, you should go back. Department of Rural Development and Land Reform to work with the Commission on Restoration of Land Rights to assess the skills requirement to ensure timely settlement of existing land claims and newly launched claims. The Commission on Restoration of Land Rights to present a full report to the National Assembly. Develop a monitoring and evaluation system for strategic partnerships, mentorship programs, joint ventures, and equity schemes. Data obtained should help the department and the commission to state a factual figure in relation to 100% productivity of land reform projects. Draw lessons from emerging best practice in restitution, especially in relation to resolving conflicts within CPAs, coordination of development support, and private sector involvement in land reform. Prioritize settlement of restitution claims launched prior to 31 December 1998. Such an approach should take into cognizance the possibilities of land claims being launched on similar projects, and proper policy stance should be taken to address this question. I think that needs to be reframed. Ensure timely provision of progress reports to claimants who are waiting for the settlement of their land claims. This approach would avoid unnecessary complaints about allegations of fraud which are based on lack of information. Therefore, the Commission report about these recommendations within 2 months after the adoption of this report, of course, this adoption by the House. Improve the capacity of the Department of Rural Development and Land Reform as the landowner to manage plus leases effectively. The department to work with the Department of Public Works to establish challenges in state land lease management. Restructure the land redistribution program to enable citizens, especially poor households and farm dweller households, to acquire land that they could call their own rather than being leases on state-owned land. Such access to land should address differential land needs for housing, small-scale subsistence production, and heritage religious purposes. This process would require careful district-based or area-based planning for land redistribution that addresses the needs and aspirations of the would-be beneficiaries. Develop a smallholder production model and relevant development support mechanisms that are not only pro-commercial, as is the case with the recapitalization and development model. Finalize the policy on legislation is the next recommendation. Finalize the policy and legislation on the establishment of the Office of the Valuer General simultaneously with adoption of the White Paper on Land Reform Policy in order to give meaning to the implementation of the just and equitable compensation as an alternative to the willing buyer, willing seller approach to land redistribution. Draw up memorandum of understanding with key departments such as Department of Water Affairs and Environment, Department of Agriculture, Forestry and Fisheries, Department of Public Works, COPTA, Department of Trade and Industry, Department of Economic Development, detailing a coordinated development support strategy with clear roles and responsibility. The Department of Rural Development and Land Reform should continue to play a facilitative and coordinating role rather than duplicating the roles of other line function departments. Finalize the CPA Amendment Bill to address the existing challenges in relation to access and control of resources, administration and governance issues within the CPAs, as well as protection of the rights of individuals within large groups. While the CPA amendment process is in progress, the department must submit within 2 months after the adoption of this report, a progress report on CPA regularization process dealing with predetermined interventions, progress in implementation of those interventions, challenges, and how those challenges are being addressed both in policy and in practice. Consider amending the EPILRA to protect right of EPILRA is Interim Protection of Informal Land Rights Act to protect rights of individuals in communal areas while developing a comprehensive policy of piece of legislation to give effect to Section 25(6) of the Constitution. Processes to clarify tenure security in communal areas should address the following: the role of institutions of traditional leaders within the context of the constitutional recognition of customary law and living customary law, as well as individual rights and liberties. Recognition of the CPAs established to own land transferred to beneficiaries of land reform. Redress the apartheid boundaries that lock black people within overcrowding areas, thus decongesting rural areas. Those are all for the Department of Rural Development and Land Reform. For the Department of Agriculture, Forestry and Fisheries, that it must be the lead supporting department for land reform projects by coordinating and implementing comprehensive farmer and development support in the form of start-up low-cost capital inputs, research and development, access to marketing, and as well as, I will delete and farm, as well as production management or any other development support required. In put in place systems to allow for the department to assist with conducting feasibility studies on the suitability of some farming ventures before the Department of Rural Development and Land Reform spend large sums of money in the recapitalization and development program. Establish within its resources capacity to conduct agricultural land reform by providing dedicated support for monitoring strategic partnerships, mentorships, and equity schemes involved in large-scale commercial agriculture. Incorporate in its plans support for smallholder farmers whose production is mainly for subsistence purposes. This could address the development needs of the majority of rural producers, who, according to Stats SA, are about 2 million people providing for food in rural areas. The support provided should be in the form of inputs, costs such as seeds, water, fencing, extension advice. Department of Human Settlements and the Department of Rural Development and Land Reform to conduct an assessment of all settled and finalized land claims, as well as other farms transferred under other products, to identify projects with needs for human settlement development. Both the departments should jointly report within 3 months of adoption of this report about the findings of the assessment and plans put in place to address the needs for housing. Of course, that shouldn't be in a recommendation, but we were thinking about New Petersburg. We will delete that because we have already stated that. New Petersburg was one of the cases that was visited by the committee. For public works, to conduct an audit and identify state land which is available for land reform, the department should submit a report to the National Assembly within 3 months after the adoption of this report. The Department of Rural Development and Land Reform works with the Department of Public Works to identify farms that are under restitution claims and present a program of action on how claims on those properties could be settled. Finalize the legislation on expropriation in order to support the work of augmented support, kind of mean the same thing, to support the work of the Office of the Valuer General, whose main aim is to ensure a just and equitable compensation in land transaction where the state is involved. To the Department of Corporate Governance and Traditional Affairs, to conduct an audit of all traditional councils with specific focus on the legal status of traditional councils and compliance with the Traditional Leadership and Governance Framework Act. The department should submit this report to the National Assembly within 3 months after the adoption of this report. Develop policy mechanisms to support the CPAs with municipal services such as water, electricity, as well as allocating communities to poor households. Conduct, in support of rural development and land reform, awareness campaign about land reform and land holding legal entities so that both CPAs and traditional leaders are aware of their position and responsibilities when land is awarded to communities, either in the form of CPAs and trust. That's the end of the report. for consideration. The next table is an attachment. It's basically detailing all the things, the summary that we kind of presented here. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. That is the import. I must also indicate that it has said from the beginning that I must also welcome the department, the deputy minister, and the commissioner. Just to say, it is important for them to be part of this meeting because we want them to listen to this debate and then to make input where they feel is necessary. For their input is not going to be on the recommendations per se, but just on the body of the report if they wish that they want to make some kind of input. That's the main reason why we invited them. And we believe that this thing has got an impact, especially on the Department of Rural Development and then reform. That's the base upon which we invited them to join us. The report has been presented, recommendations have been read, and I just want to hear comments, especially on the body of the report first, before we deal with the issue of recommendations. And if you agree with the report, just indicate that I agree with the report, and that's it, so that we don't have to take much time. Okay, it's open for discussion. Any takers? Human number one, number two, and number three, in that order.
Thank you, Chairperson. I need to start with thanking the officials for putting a very well thought out report together. I think it really captures what we have done. Chairperson, I'm not going to make comments about spelling errors because it's acknowledged that there are some errors in there. Just one of the things that I did ask specifically in KZN that doesn't speak in this report, and I actually did not look or think about it when we submitted to you, is the failed land reform programs, which in one of the, if I can just get to that page, we made observations. There was something, get to that page. Where's the page on the observations? Page? I made a note there. Where we said the department needs to... No, I can't get that. That page. Yeah. Let me just see if it was under the observations or under the recommendations. Are we coming back to the recommendations, Chair, because it was actually under recommendations? Okay, then I won't talk about it then now because I wanted to make some proposals under recommendation. Thank you, Chairperson.
My name is Walter.
Yeah, thank you very much. Thank you very much, and also thanking the officials for compiling this report, also including our input. I've seen our input is here. But my issue is only on recommendation, because there is only one thing that is on the recommendation.
We will return to recommendations. I just want the comment on the body of the report, so that when we deal with recommendations, we don't go back to the body of the report. Honorable Nambuza?
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson. So I would like to concur with the other members in relation to the report, the way it has been crafted. They will really appreciate it. But I think, having said so, there's the issue of the observations.
One of the person is but then because started an observation, you have also to refer to the recommendation. But I'm not saying anything that relates to the
population building on this program. I mean, on the observation, because if you are looking at these areas that were visited, as the report has already alluded to it, people are not united. There's no unity in those areas that were visited. Nalapho sithi khona, but yabona ukuthi it's just a, I don't know, that is not a strengthened. So I think there is an omission on that one. So my amendment there are four months of the
city. Okay, I'm sorry. It seems to me all of you wanted to talk and refer to recommendations. Maybe I shouldn't have made that ruling. Let me turn the wheel around. I'm studying again. Now, I'm studying with you, Honorable Stein. You can make your point, you can refer to recommendations. The door is now open, no longer the window, but the door. And you'll follow Honorable Swarte, Van den Berg, and then I'll come to you in a little bit.
Yeah, thank you, Chairperson. Under the recommendations, when we came to 8.1.3, the work with the Commission on Restitution of Land Rights to develop, and we can either put it in one of those A, B, C, D, E, or F, but I think it's also important, it says there under B at this stage, draw lessons from emerging best practices in restitution, especially in relation to resolving. And I remember when we were on the oversight, I also said that we must draw lessons on the failures. I think, Chairperson, as a committee and as a parliament, we don't have enough information about where failures took place and the reasons for that. We can also learn from failures. You don't always have to learn from successes, and I think it needs to be part of the recommendations, Chairperson. That is one of the things that I think we did not put in here. And then just to check, under 8.2.3, under the Department of Agriculture, Forestry and Fisheries, it says establish within its resources and within its structures, but when it was read, the Chilean read resources. I'm not sure if it's structures or resources, but I also think, Chairperson, for me, I think this needs to be strengthened. I'm not sure resources or structures, but I think one of the things that we found when on oversight is a lack of Department of Agriculture in the whole process. So we need to strengthen this maybe a bit more. I don't know if we can make a recommendation, but to look at a coherent plan from the Department of Agriculture and Forestry on how the support towards rural development and land reform will be put in place. Thank you, Chair.
Oh, thank you very much, Chairperson. Yeah, mine is just on the recommendation, 8.1.6. It talks of Office of the Auditor General and the finalization of policy and legislation, and also talk of, because this one is not yet finalized. But when we go to the next page, page 2, the last paragraph. It talks of finalization under Department of Public Works. It talks of finalization of finalize the legislation on expropriation in order to support the work of Office of the Auditor General. So to me, this is a contradiction, because we can't support when this office is not yet actually is not yet in place. We still have to finalize, but to me, yeah, on this second one. It talks of supporting, you know. Then what do you support? Because even that one is not yet finalized, the Office of the Auditor General. So I think there, it causes actually a contradiction. So I should suggest that maybe we change not to put it in this way, so that it can actually be acceptable. Otherwise, we are now empty. Because we don't know what's going to happen, or we will be discussing this. is there. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. I just want to speak to one thing in the recommendations. All the departments are mentioned, and I think for a specific reason, the reason arts and culture was also part of this ad hoc committee. But I think it's important that in the recommendations, the arts and culture must be bound in there, and you know there must be a specific recommendation to the department that they have to look and make sure that all the heritage sites and whatsoever that is may be part of this whole issue must be looked after, make sure that it is protected in future. For instance, maybe there will be a transfer of land to other people, and we have to look at the heritage sites, otherwise it will just wash away. I missed this in the recommendations. I think we must surely bind the Department of Arts and Culture in. Specifically, you know, there's routes, roads to the heritage sites that must be keep open or whatever, so that we make sure that the heritage sites or whatsoever, or graves, important graves, it must be looked after. I'm actually speaking as an outsider. It was the first time I was involved in this whole land restitution thing. It's running for about a very, very long time, and was very enlightening for me to be part of this, and I learned a lot out of this whole issue. There's one thing that stands out for me, that the communities we visited, there are still a lot of unsatisfied people, restless people. I think something must be done to go into that communities and look at the problems after some of the processes have been finalized. In KwaZulu-Natal, in that great town area, which is a wonderful farm where the sugar cane is produced and everything, and the chairperson of that CPA said they are so afraid in winter, some of the other people that not bind in the CPA will come and put fire into the sugar cane. So I think we must have at the end satisfied and happy people, and we must do something specific to bind in all the people and make sure if there's unfinished business in the last process with the restitution program, because there are still a lot of unfinished business, we must make sure that the previous process is handled precisely and everything has been done, and ask people if they're unsatisfied or whatever, and try from the government side to settle unnecessary fuse or whatever between the people. I think this is very important. I can't talk about the fiber of the community, but something has to be done to keep all the people happy. And then I will also connect with my colleague there about the nation building thing. So this is much part of the whole nation building, because we want happy people at the end of the day. That's our purpose. They must be satisfied. And if there's a lot of unsatisfied people at the end of the process, we are not finished. We have unfinished business on our hands, and that will not be the correct thing. Thank you, Chairperson.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Professor. I think the point I was going to raise, the last speaker is already raised about the art and culture. I was heading there by the time I was raising that point I raised. So when I said they were expand more, I was going to expand later. So I think the point has been captured. Then the other area, I think I have to request that, even if we don't get into detail, but I think it is important that there has to be a recommendation that refers to most of the issues that we have identified in terms of challenges that the Department of Rural Development
at least together with the commissioner, they must go back to those areas and address. There are issues that they can be addressed very soon. Because once Parliament arrives in a particular area, people expect a lot because Parliament is their last hope. So we cannot go there and then we don't have a recommendation that is going to push with those issues are addressed. But again, the Siabe Daphne within their Madame Tembu Yanapa, they will be able to craft it in a way that is going to be acceptable to all. Then the other area I wanted to refer to it, the issue of
but it is not part of the record of the meeting.
Chairperson, although we visited the three provinces, but I think our report look at a broader scope because these challenges are not only in this province. So I think in 8.3, I think it can be expanded that because rural development and human settlements in terms of settling people, more especially even in the rural areas, so they have to work together. So it means there are other areas where there is CPE in terms of the province as a whole. So you, I would suggest that it could be strengthened. On 8.84.3, I don't know whether I'm going to be out of order yet, Chairperson, you will bear with me. The issue of expropriation, yes, we understand that it is within the public works, but we will recognize that Human Settlements has got a housing development agency that has been given that mandate. So I would suggest that Human Settlements Department should also work together with rural development and public works in terms of this when they are strategizing. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Chair, I just want to comment on 8.4.3. I think the understanding here was that the expropriation bill is being dealt with by the Department of Public Works. So that is why they've mentioned the Department of Public Works, because it's the one that must fast track this process of the bill, because the bill now has been considered, has not yet been formally referred to the committee, but it's the responsibility of the public works. So I don't know if we mention human settlement, whether they are dealing with the expropriation also, that of the expropriation bill, because here the proposal is that they must finalize the legislation on expropriation, which is the responsibility of public works. I don't know whether I'm clear on the trend.
Thank you very much.
I am clear. I know that public works is responsible for the bill. If you remember, PLAM was responsible for rural development, but the respective relevant departments were working together. That is why we are emphasizing that departments that have a role to play, because what I'm saying here, HDA is a legislated entity from the human settlement side to identify, acquire, and sell land for human settlement development. It's a legislated Act number 2008. It is there, and the expropriation part of it, it is there in that legislation. They are given that mandate. So I'm saying when they are dealing with the legislation, maybe mistake is to say human settlements. I would say all respect relevant departments that can. But I think I was right. I was in order.
Well, I think the point that we need to capture is to acknowledge that the lead department in terms of expropriation
is the Department of Public Works. However, we can just urge the Department of Public Works to take all the affected or relevant departments on board, so that at least there is kind of, you know, coherence in terms of how we take the process forward. I think that's how we'll capture it at the end. Honorable Johnson.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. The recommendation on page 32, I'll flip in chat, on 8.2.4, there's a list there, A, B, C, D, to an extent that on water, we might wish to add an irrigation schemes. Now, this shall talk to two things. One, to farming. Two, to forestry. Because the water licenses, they talk pretty much to both of them. But at the same time, irrigation talks pretty much to farming in terms of crops. The other issue in this very matter that we are dealing with here, I remember we did mention it initially, wherein we spoke about support as in pre and post, so that you don't talk about, you know, access to all of those. This easily could be part of your post-settlement support, which is what we have since become accustomed to. Rather, we equally include the post-settlement, which can be a make or break of any of what you want to do. The last point on page 3, I think it is somewhere, I can't remember exactly, but wherein we make reference to National Development Plan and the New Growth Path. And there's a vision there stated, can't remember exactly where, but that vision for me equally must be aligned with your National Development Plan 2030 vision, so that we don't speak outside of a country. It is stated somewhere where it says a shared vision. Can't remember exactly where, but who? Content advisor. The vision for, yes. you see, my understanding, you know, of a concept vision, it has to be a shared vision, so that anybody else, whether departments or provinces or local government or even private sector for that matter, you know, they're all part of that shared vision. And anything else and everything else has to be aligned accordingly. So that is what I would really, so that we are consistent with what we do as a country.
Okay, thank you very much. I think in terms of the input, let me start from the last and move towards the beginning. Would you like to comment?
Apologies, Chair. Sorry, I just found it, though it is equally referred to yours on that page. The page I was looking for was page 4, which on that executive summary. So that also when we refer to the executive summary, the executive summary is equally consistent with the entire document. So if we were to refer to that executive summary on page 4 on recommendations, defining a shared vision for land reform policy, and it goes on, so that it is consistent even at that very early stage with that you know, Vision 2030 of the National Development Plan thing.
Thanks. Thank you very much for these comments. I think they, yes, they are useful and they will enrich the recommendation. What I do think, there are some which, let me give an example to the issue about pre-settlement. It's indeed, it was one of the key issues that came. And I think if we were to make that visible, you can look at 8.2.2, which speaks about the Department of Agriculture before the Department of Rural Development can gain farms. And so we can rephrase it around pre- and post-settlement involvement of the Department of Agriculture. A particular point also which I think we can, it will actually help, is to have a recommendation that that will address the site-specific recommendations. If you look at the attachments, we've got, when members went to each and every project, they were making recommendations and they are captured here. So perhaps have an overall recommendation that refers to that and request the department to table the report by a certain, you know, within a particular period, about what have they done about all those recommendations. I think that will have, rather than saying 1, 2, 3, but that captures all of them. I thought that's what I will comment. Yeah, thanks.
I think on the issue raised by Honorable Johnson, I think we agree with the shared vision 2030. The consistency, therefore, I think we agree with that. It will be captured. And the issue of irrigation scheme will also be added on the, that is, on the recommendation, I'll tell you just now. Yeah, on 8.2.4, you did raise an issue there about the incorporate in this plan support for the smallhold farmers whose production is mainly for subsistence purposes. This could address the development needs of the majority of the rural productive producers who, I'm going to start to say, about 2 million people providing for food in rural areas. The support provided should be in the form of A, input, and you address specifically the issue of B. You say you would appreciate if irrigation schemes can be added, and it must be pre and post settlement. I think that we're quite comfortable with will be added. I think the issue of expropriation was actually sorted out. I'm not going to talk to that now. And there was also a proposal that we need to include the resolution that says the Department of Rural Reform and Land Reform and Rural Development should actually attend to urgent issues. I think we don't have a qualm with that. To look through the body of the report and identify those specific issues that we think they can be addressed quickly. I think that can be done. And of course, it's just an overall kind of general resolution. We can indicate that the process of addressing the legacy, of reversing the legacy, must seek to unite as opposed to divide the nation. We can put that as a recommendation. That is just a commitment that we're making, that in whatever we do, we will seek to unite as opposed to divide the nation. I think the issue of Delua General, I'm speaking under correction here, I think members will comment if they feel that they agree or otherwise with me, but I think we because we don't have such an office yet, I don't think we should add it as a recommendation here. It's, in all fairness, it's something that we want to have. We don't have it, so we can't put it as a recommendation here. So I suggest that we agree with the member from the DA there to say we what recommendation is
8.4.3. What's the appeal on that point? It is not a question of whether it is going to be formed or not, if I understand it correctly. It is going to be established, isn't it?
I would prefer if you respond by way of a proposal.
Yes.
In terms of what you think.
Yes, I'm going there.
Okay.
If it is going to be established, why don't we include it here? Because my understanding is that it is not a question of whether or not it is going to be established. So this is a long term initiative we are engaging on now. The question, if it's going to establish, as I understand, why don't we include it?
Well, let's look at 8.4.3. Finalize the legislation on expropriation in order to support and augment the work of the Office of the Valuer General, whose aim. Well, the point is, I think, in all fairness, let's now talk facts, what is happening on the ground. The report is, the process have moved quite a distance in terms of the establishment of this office. The last report we got in the meeting of rural development was that the process was at a stage where the two departments, that is rural development and public works, met and sought out issues which they were not finding one another, and they have since resolved those issues. And if everything went according to what we were told on Tuesday, the process served before the cabinet committee on Wednesday, which means, therefore, logically speaking, it will serve before cabinet in the next meeting, which is next week Wednesday, which tells you that, and I'm raising this so that we can determine whether the process is reversible or irreversible. Now, when you made that point, Honorable Soate, what came to mind was we are anticipating the establishment of the office. But when Honorable Ntapane made that intervention, it occurs to me, therefore, that the process has moved to an extent that we can even say finalize legislation on expropriation in order to support and augment the work of the envisaged Office of the Valuer General. Envisaged Office of the Valuer. We don't talk as if it exists, but we say it's envisaged because obviously it's in the pipeline. I think I'm persuaded by Honorable Tapani's argument. But surely we cannot speak as if it is there already. It is not there already. But the process, as I have outlined to you, is at a stage where it cannot be reversed. Honorable Swati.
Yeah, thank you very much, Chairperson. I think here we're talking of what is happening and what we have observed on the ground. That's why we're putting this as recommendations. And that's why in my argument I said that we will be preempting. Because we need to put what is already there. I've also referred to where it is said in this, it is in page number 31, on 8.1.6. It is there. It says that finalize the policy and legislation on the establishment of Office of the Vilwa General. It is there. So I'm questioning it, why are we also putting the expropriation when they finalize to support that office, whereas in this it is not yet finalized. So that's why I'm asking, maybe if we can just leave it, not put it on the 8.4.3, we remove this one and we can just say finalize the expropriation, but not to support that one, because that one is not yet finalized. So that's what I think we can put as a recommendation. But we don't have to preempt putting things in our recommendation as we preempt, because we don't know what might happen. It's not finalized yet. There are so many things that can happen in the middle. Thank you.
E.G.
you said that they still going to the cabinet. There is a possibility in a cabinet there can be some argument, maybe from another minister or something else, you know. So when it comes there, you'll find that it's not going to be the way we have just preempted it.
Okay, I think you make a point. Let me get all of this. Yes, Honorable Stein.
Chairperson, unfortunately I must support that that statement. It would make me personally uncomfortable to put it in here. In my own mind, I'm still worried about the constitutionality of the auditor. We keep on talking about the auditor general, the value general, especially if we look at the with it linked to the section that we set here to finalize the legislation on expropriation in order to support the work of the Office of the Valuer General. For me, Chairperson, I think in the discussions and when we have the policy available, it could still be challenged on the constitutionality thereof. I would feel happy if we put in finalize the legislation on expropriation so that we go through a legal framework and we discuss it and whatever, but to link the two at this stage while it's not yet there, I think I find it personally a problem, Chair.
Alright, no, it's fine. We will delete 8.4.3 and we will remain with
I don't think it's easy. We can delete 8.4.3. What we can do, we can omit. That omit, because I don't think we can do that for a recommendation.
What do we omit? Sorry.
That omit this office of the Vela, etc. So do you understand what was the right? So let's just omit it.
So we must say finalize legislation on expropriation.
Yeah, legislation must remain.
Okay. No, fine. Thanks. Honorable Mgwenya Mawila.
Okay, I agree with the proposal. Just to beef up the sentence, we must just indicate the intention of the expropriation bill, yes, instead of mentioning the Vilwa General. What is the intention of the expropriation? Just to beef up for the sentence to make sense.
Thank you. Can you help me here? You're saying how do you suggest we beef up? Can you just maybe broaden your proposal?
I think, Chair, if I understand well, we agree with the sentence, but to omit, yes, the sentence which talks about Veja General. In other words, we're saying that we need to finalize the legislation on expropriation. But what I'm saying is that let's continue, let us not end on expropriation. Let us further the question, the sentence by indicating the purposes of expropriation. I don't know what I'm saying. Instead of value as general, because we agree that we delete that one. But just to make the sentence to make sense, we must just the object, or maybe in the legal, what is it? Yeah, the object of the expropriation, just to add it here. But we agree that we need to finalize the expropriation, whose object is to do 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Mm.
For public purpose or for public interest.
Finalize the legislation on expropriation. Okay, we'll think about it. Yeah. Then the next recommendation was the point made by Honorable Van der Berg. I think I agree with you 100% that we know what the role of art and culture is. And I think you did make several interventions during the visit, making consistent argument about the whole question of heritage sites, and you know, so I think it's important that we capture it so that art and culture must remain committed and constantly reminding us in terms of in each and every area which falls within the restitution and so on and so forth, there might be heritage sites that need to be taken care of. And I think it's important that we don't lose sight of that, so that we will include that kind of recommendation. Then I think the other point around the CPAs, that point I think has been covered in the recommendation. I think we all noted the challenges that the CPAs are facing, and I think maybe the recommendation that we can highlight is to urge the department, because I know that there is this CPA amendment bill that is coming through to amend them, to urge them to speed up that process, so that at least the challenges bedeviled in the CPAs can be attended to. The issues of capacity building and so on can be dealt with. We can formulate a resolution along those lines. And this is based on our own experiences as we are going through, you know, this thing of disputes between CPAs and traditional leaders and so on. We can capture a recommendation along those lines, just in the department to attend to that particular matter by way of that legislation. We will include it. I'm trying to ensure that I don't leave anything behind outside here. You spoke about the one of lessons of.
And 8.1.3b, where it says draw lessons from emerging best practices in restitution. and it's the CPAs and everything. I don't know if we need to add it in that sentence or just make another one, because it's not only the lessons under restitution, it's also lessons under land reform and other other sections.
Can we can make it as a standalone resolution, but in that resolution we can, for example, talk about maybe drawing lessons from challenges and successes. You know, the word failure might suggest that it's very strong a word. Maybe just use challenges and successes, so that we don't only focus on the successes. But we will craft a standalone resolution for that. I think it covers everything. Have you thought about this table of expropriation? Yeah. Let's hear your good English. Honorable Swati.
Yeah, thank you, Jefferson. Yeah, I nearly forgot one of the issues that we actually discovered on the ground, the issue of the trust. When we were there in Northwest, the other land were put under trust, and there were some people who didn't actually understand how to operate. So I think because we've got the CPAs, we also need to address the issue of trust, because in other areas they're using trust. So I think maybe we can find a way of also putting a trust on this recommendation, so that when we that kind of problems which are actually faced with the people who are under trust, and then could be also looked at. You remember there when we were there in Northwest, some people were taken from CPAs into trust, and then it is not operating the same. There are laws that are different. If you've got a trust and if you've got a CPAs, it's not similar. So I think we need also to address that, otherwise we will omit it and that problem will still continue. That's my proposal, Chairperson. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you, sir. I think on the issue of trust, yes, maybe we may find a way. But as far as I understand it, the way we should capture it, in my view, and I think I'm as careful not to sort of, in my input, misunderstood to be violating the requirements, you know, of the statutes. But given the problems that we are facing within the CPAs, a trust will present more problems, I think, because it's not easy to get in the trust, inside a trust, and try and solve problems there. Once there's a trust, I think there are stringent kind of measures. So I'm talking just on the basis of some little understanding. So I'm making this point to say, if we craft it in a resolution, I think we must be very careful and alive to the realities. But the fact that it was something that people raised cannot be ignored. Mm. People did raise it, and I'm not sure what amount of trust we have, whether they are still continuing or they are dying or whatever. I think maybe the department can say something to that effect.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. I will just assist with the question of the trust. When we started out the restitution process and other land reform processes, we did establish either a trust or a CPA. But what we found is that because the trust is managed by the Department of Justice and Constitutional Development, it's very difficult for us to intervene if there's a problem, because the Master's Office is the one that's delegated to deal with a trust. And therefore, the trusts that are there, that are registered on behalf of restitution claimants, are a problem in that we can't intervene, but at the same time, the Master of the High Court is overwhelmed by trust in general, and therefore feels that they don't have the capacity to deal with the type of trust that we
having to deal with. So we very often discourage claimants from registering trusts as opposed to CPAs, which we can intervene in. Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Dambuza.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I think we appreciate this information we are getting. Because if you remember, Chairperson, you will find that at some stage, the communities down there, sometimes they don't opt for a trust because they want it. They don't know what they are getting in. So it's a challenge. So I don't know how, because you have got a responsibility, that is land restitution. You cannot run away from it. And normally tell the people from human settlements to say, you are building houses. Your mandate to settle people. If you have to make sure that people are settled as a department. So you have got a mandate to drive this program of restitution and land restitution. So I think there has to be a coherent coherence between the Department of Justice. You need to, at a certain stage, to meet these departments and discuss these areas, because these are grey areas and still the responsibility of the rural development and land reform to make sure that people are made aware. But we know that things are not being done on the ground. That's the problem. But we cannot just slightly. We need to take in Africa a responsibility.
Honourable Stein, first, Honourable Tapani, Honourable Stein, Honourable Swart, in that order.
Honourable Chair, thank you. Honourable Tabuza has covered me, Honourable Chairperson, because problematic as they are, but the fact of the matter is there are trusts there. So we cannot turn a blind eye on that one. So she has covered me.
Chairperson, I actually was thinking about the trust as one of the challenges that we found on the ground. So can't we just maybe work the word trust in the sentence that we want to include under challenges, that we look at it in that way, that we can actually come up with, you know, when we ask the department to look into challenges and then specifically on how to deal with trusts, or if there can be proposals with the trust, because many of the challenges had to do with trusts and the issues around trust.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Yeah, I also raised this issue emanating from all those challenges and problems on the ground. And another issue is with regard to choice, you know, because on the ground people might choose to say, we don't want a CPA, we want a trust. So if it is not covered, then it poses a very serious challenge now. So we need to acknowledge and accept it because it's on the ground. How do we deal with it? Because there are so many trusts. I know even in Limpopo there are land that has been transferred to trust, especially those claimed by the traditional leaders. They transfer them to trust. So now those people, if they've got problem, they will want to come to rural development and also to lay their claims. So if that issue is put there as a recommendation, then it can be dealt in another way around. As Honorable Dambuza has just indicated, that we're talking of cooperative governance. So how is this issue being resolved? But the recommendation will also empower the department also to look into that and work on that one. Thank you very much.
I'm really just thinking out of the box now. Can we suggest that, in the way of recommendation, can we suggest that we urge the department to we note the challenges arising out of the trust, and we urge the department to No, let me put it on hold. My mind is failing me a little bit. Let me just put it on hold. The point I want to make, without forming the resolution, therefore, is to say we need to urge the department to find a way of educating people. Educating people in as far as the challenges relating to trust are concerned. I take the point that they exist, you can't whisk them away, but and Honorable Swatha speaks about choices. We can't say people shouldn't choose trust. But I think they have to be educated to understand the challenges in relation to trust. I understand yesterday you were telling us more about the, you were using the police, the court language. So I want you, maybe you can help us, Honorable Ntabane, today.
No, Honorable Sir, I think the recommendation of Honorable Dambuza to me is the best one, where the Department of Rural Development can sit down regarding this issue with the Department of Justice and Rural Development, what is Justice and Social, yeah, whatever it is. They can sit down and then the Department of Rural Development will actually tell the Department of the shortcomings of the trust. Yes. And then they discuss it. Maybe they might come up with a solution. Because as we have said, we agree, there are a lot of trusts out there. And some other people don't want cooperatives. They want trusts. So whether they are misinformed or not, another question. But they are trust development trusts that are registered. And the people are hit with that development trust. So if these two departments can sit down, as Oliver Dambuza has suggested, I think they may come up with a solution.
Okay, I think the point is taken. It's a fair recommendation. The Department of Rural Development and Land Reform, as well as the Department of Justice and Constitutional Affairs, must sit down and look into these challenges relating to trust. We leave it at that, right? Yeah, okay, thank you very much. Honorable State.
Sorry, Chief, can I take us back to 8.2.3 and 8.2.4 on the agriculture ones?
Which one?
8.2.3 and 8.2.4 on the agriculture ones. If we can start with 8.2.3, and it brings us to the pre and post settlement, I'm just worried, Chair, if we write in the sentence that says
no, you're welcome. Just find yourself a seat.
No, it's 8.2.2, Chairperson, where it said put in place systems to allow for the department to assist with conducting feasibility studies for suitability, and then it goes on and ends off in the recapitalization and development program. It will not help us, Chair, with the pre-support, because then we focus it only for recap. I think we must not only focus on recap, we must say on all land reform programs, and not just say recap, because recap is something that's on its own. But other, and I ask the question, Chairperson, because at the moment when land is transferred, there is no specific agreement between land reform and agriculture on coming in before land is transferred, and that will cover our pre-support. We can't just focus it on recap. And then, Chairperson, on 8.2.4, where we say, before we go to ABC, the support provided should be in the form, and we mustn't just say, we must say, for example, Because then we, I'm just thinking, if we just say ABC and including the proposals that was put there, there's still things that's excluded. For instance, things like, I can't think of the silos and other issues that is not included. If we put a list, but we will still exclude stuff. I just think we must say, for example, and leave it at that. Then I will be happy, Chairperson.
Okay, can you summarize the last resolution and then the one on expropriation so that we can close now?
Yeah, I haven't found the exact way, but I understood my interpretation is that she's saying that if you put it like that, you are limited, but it should be opened up so that you even those that are not listed here, you can still. So it should be something like including or for example,
yeah.
So that then it's, you are not prescribing only this. The...
Can I make a recommendation here? What?
Sorry, he was still speaking.
Okay.
Let him finish first and then we'll come to it. Okay, is it only one?
Yes.
Okay, continue.
What if we frame this sentence, the support provided should be in the form of, but not limited to, and then we list them?
Yeah, that's good English, man. Good. No, thank you.
Okay. 8.4.3. The proposal is that finalize the legislation on expropriation to align it with the constitutional principles of just administrative action and expropriation of land in the public interest. Finalize the legislation on expropriation to align it with the constitutional principle of just and equitable what? Okay, we will phrase it accordingly. That just and equitable. And expropriation of land in the public interest.
Yeah, I think it's fair. It's covering the views that members expressed in their own. So it's no longer talking about Velua General. We removed the Velua General. Are you happy, Honorable Fati? You removed the Velua General. Okay, no, thank you. So, Honorable Stein?
Trying to push my luck here, Chairperson. If we can go back to 8.1.6, I will be much more happier if we end that sentence also to say, to end at implementation of the just and equitable compensation and take out as an alternative to the willing buyer, willing seller approach to land redistribution, then I will be very, very happy, Chair, because I personally don't think that was the problem.
Yeah.
Just end it, meaning to the implementation of the just and equitable compensation. And just as that is what it means. We understand, Chairperson, that is why the audit, the valuer office will be established. But I'm making a proposal from my side if we can end the point there. 8.1.6. End the sentence of the just and equitable compensation.
Well, unfortunately, Honorable Stein, you know, it does not change anything much. Yeah, because the just and equitable compensation is indeed an alternative to William Bayer with the seller. So really, I oh yes, I know you kind of. So, colleagues, I think we have come to the end of the commendations now. We have dealt with them, and we have now arrived at a time before we run short of warm bodies. We have to check the status. I think the meeting is completely in order, isn't it? So, can you check if the meeting is in order, isn't it? In terms of quorum?
Yes.
That's fine. I wish the doors can be locked now.
Yes.
But before that, I want to give the Deputy Minister an opportunity to say a word or two.
I'm saying comments raised by all of the members are very useful to us. And I listened to all the comments, and it is the marching order that these issues, we need to do everything that is raised by members. I think there are issues that can be addressed soon. I agree with members that you are in the process of addressing some of the issues that are raised here. And then it should be noted that the rural development is the only one which responded to your call, because the recommendations are not only speaking to rural development. Recommendations are speaking to human settlement, public works, cooperative governance and traditional affairs, and arts and culture.
Agriculture.
And I see that the only department is us, and I want members to know that we are very disciplined. So I really, Chairperson, I think I should not waste time. We will really adhere to what the members are saying. We will make sure that we address all the issues raised by the members. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Deputy Minister. I will now put resolutions before the House. Any mover? Moved. Honourable Tawa. Any seconder? Honourable Stain, seconded. The recommendations are therefore adopted. They will be tabled. Yes, so the this report will appear before the ATC, will be appearing on the ATC on Monday to show that the process has now been handed over to our principals, the National Assembly, who mandated us to do this work. And I want to take this opportunity to thank members of this ad hoc committee for the work that we have done, because the lifespan of this committee will be coming to an end on Tuesday. So the report is adopted, as I've said. Now I am moving to the next item, which is the issues which are left unfinished business. I'm sure Honourable Stage and others will quickly know what I'm talking about. I'm not going to raise it in front of visitors, but we will definitely have to sit down and find a way of coming down together, because if we don't resolve it, we will be leaving a cancer which is unattended to. We have to come back now. I have been resisting the temptation of discussing it, but after today's meeting, I'm more than happy to engage on this particular matter, so that none of us must live with a memory that says the ad hoc committee did well, but there were certain things which were not resolved, which are by and large administrative. So the matter is going to, we're going to have to find time to come together and discuss it, because I think it's important for us to do so. It's not for the benefit of individuals, it's for the interest of the institution moving forward. We're going to have to discuss it. Yes. You want to say something?
I'm not sure, Chairperson, if we are going to have another day where we'll discuss what you are talking about. I just wanted to say we need to thank the honourable members that rescued us, because I think some of them were taken out of their meetings and then released them. That's what I wanted to say.
Okay, Honourable Mbabasa, Honourable Slau, and Honourable members who were requested to come and help us to constitute a quorum, we want to thank you sincerely. Really, we can go. Okay, so my statement stands. We're going to find time to discuss the issues that I said we're going to discuss. Now we can discuss them, focusing on those issues, not worried about time frames and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. We will inform you accordingly as to how best we will do that. Unless if you have proposals to make. If you don't have proposals to make, we will communicate. Because we are still here. Our time hasn't ended. Yes. Okay. Thank you very much, colleagues. Let me... Okay.
Sorry, Chairperson, if I'm out of order, just tell me, because unfortunately when we met on Tuesday, I came late. But did we process the minutes that was also distributed? Because I picked up two issues that's not correct in the minutes, Chairperson.
Well, the court advisor, when he started earlier, he said the minutes, they are part of the resource document, but I think nothing stops you from raising whatever correction you want to raise. You can do so quickly so that when we move here, we are done. But maybe I should say to the, okay, proceed.
Yeah, Chairperson, the one I could actually forward would not make a difference really in discussions. It's on the one of the meeting in Stellenbosch. I just saw the name of Mr. Tudiacher that was omitted, not in here, from AgriSA. I think we just have to put it on the list of names. And then, Chairperson, the other one which might need the committee to discuss on it is the other one when we had the meeting where we invited the different people to come and make a presentation, and the page 4 where it says Afrikaner Bond.
Just before you proceed, I wanted to intervene earlier, but I saw the bitmaster still talking. I wanted to release them properly and thank them for the time that they actually reserved to be with us here this afternoon. Thank you very much. Thanks for your participation.
Thank you, Chief. I didn't want to leave it like this, especially it's going to form part of our thing. For the Afrikaner Bond, Chairperson, it says here, the Afrikaner Bond stood by its presentation that claimed that...
Sir, on a point of order. Are we dealing with minutes now?
Yes.
Oh.
4.2 on page 4, Chairperson, on the date 19 August, claimed that black South Africans were not the only group and that the history suggested that the Afrikaners were citizens even before 1652. I'm a bit concerned here because I couldn't remember that that was part of the presentation.
Chair, I think, sorry to you, Chair, on a point of order. If we are dealing with minutes, do we have a quorum? Because we can't deal with this minutes in such a piecemeal. We either we're dealing with them, we have a quorum because we're to adopt the minutes. That's how I understand.
Can I be advised how we're going to deal with it? There are, one other way of dealing with it is to, we can ask colleagues to submit corrections if there are any on the minutes, and we can make sure that maybe, I don't know, maybe on Tuesday, we can just find time just to sit down. Because the problem is, if we leave them like this, they'll remain unadopted forever, because the committee's lifespan ends on Tuesday. And that's my greatest concern, my greatest concern. So it's either you submit your corrections and whatever is writing, and on Tuesday we can find just a few minutes to get together and adopt the minutes before the committee, the other committee's lifespan come to an end. We can do it, it will take us about 10 minutes, 5 minutes to sit down and say, and so that we, they become a record of the Portugal.
I would support that, Chairperson, because I would like, I will give it to the staff just to, I can't remember, but to me it doesn't reflect correctly, so that we just reflect that the date correctly. I'm concerned that especially this one, if we reflect it like that, it could be a problem. So I would ask that they just look at it, Chair, but I will give it, and then we can just reflect that.
Thank you, Chairperson. As much as I was not in that meeting, what I would like to understand, the minutes are the true reflection of what happened in the meeting. They can be corrected, I agree. But if my friend there is not comfortable about what was said, then we can go to recordings and listen to what was said, so that really, yeah, through the presentations, because I think if they said it, it's how they feel. If I think if we can take it in that matter, then we'll be, we can really close this matter.
So can we have about 5-10 minutes online on during lunch on Tuesday, just before the city, just to adopt the minutes. Tuesday. Mama Pino?
Chair, I'm just asking why can't we adopt it now? Because if they look at the presentation, written presentation that was made by the Afrikaner bond, and also listening at the recording, if this is correct, there's nothing wrong to adopt the minutes and that you agree with the content. The grammatical corrections will be handed over to the support staff to make some corrections. Because we can't come for one sentence for the Afrikaner bond, whether it's true or false.
Well, the challenge here, I'm told there is no quorum. We can use the register that we used to adopt the, yes. Huh?
Chairperson, sorry. I don't have a problem if we can use the register. I'm having a problem with the last wording, that even if it's true or false. I can't remember the specific sentence. I knew there was many things said, but
who said that?
the Afrikaner want.
Who said, why are you saying it's true or false?
My colleague here just mentioned the change, even if it's true or false.
On a point of order. Can I propose that we close the meeting? Well, before we close the meeting, I need to be told exactly how are we going to adopt this minute.
Yeah.
That's exactly what I want. Because we can't leave this minutes the way they are. Otherwise, they're as good as not being part of the records of our discussion. Yes, sir.
Chair, I agree with you that over lunch we meet on Tuesday.
Agreed. Tuesday at the new assembly restaurant. Or where do we meet? I don't want us to start looking for venues and so on. We can go to the restaurant there, get a bigger table, sit there, table the meeting, the minutes, adopt them, and enjoy our lunch, and that's it. Okay, thank you very much. The meeting is adjourned.